Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app as well. It's your online home for all things Penn State football. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle. We're in season preview mode a little bit here. We're going to start the show as we usually do, looking back at the weekend with some Penn State odds and ends. James Franklin talking on BTN, has some interesting comments about the state of his team. Want to talk about DJ Durkin and the Maryland situation for sure. The second Big Ten East, a little controversy that stirred up over the past few weeks. We'll look at the tight end and the wide receiver positions are as part of our season preview package. Season makers, our breakout picks, looking at offensive line and specialists there. We'll round out the show with another edition of Ask Greg. Those are questions from you guys. Special announcement here to get started, though. Labatt is giving away a pair of tickets to every home game this season. For your chance to win tickets to the Appalachian State game, visit one of these three great outlets across Pennsylvania: Beer Express in Harrisburg, Happy Valley Refreshment in Bowlesburg, or Express Beverage in Montoursville. We'll pull the winner on air next week, and we will continue to do so for every home game this year. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Lights. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I like that.
That's good.
I like that. I don't know who came up with that. It wasn't me. I don't know.
There's no better way to prepare for
it. I'm just reading. Okay. Labatt came up. It's far too creative for our minds here. Drink blue and light. So there you go.
Check out that in mind next weekend.
Yeah.
There's no better way to prepare for a KSN show than a little bit Labatt.
Drink blue and light before we get in here.
That's right. I'll have it tattooed on my forehead next week. You won't be able to forget it.
Let's talk about Maryland. And it's really becoming the norm for these little controversies to stir up. First, Ohio State. Now with DJ Durkin and a lot of his staff and some support staff there on administrative leave as they investigate not only the treatment of Maryland players as was laid out by some, you know, anonymous former players and staffers in an ESPN report late last week. Also, the death of Jordan McNair and the circumstances there and the response time there. There's some heavy stuff here, and it goes well beyond what you might call accusations from disgruntled former players or former staffers, what Will Muschamp called gutless to not go on the record with your name and that kind of thing. I don't really agree with that part of it, but it points to a troublesome culture there, I suppose. And you have people speaking out on behalf of DJ Durkin, but really, I mean, this is going to come down to, I think, what happened with Jordan McNair, who suffered a seizure allegedly at 5 p.m. Over the summer, and there wasn't paramedics called for almost another hour. So really, that's going to be, I think, the gist of whatever they investigate, whatever they find, a little bit more so than how former players feel about how they were treated. Yeah. But both are equally troublesome.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the biggest problem for DJ Durkin is that this has now reached a point where it has involved the president and the athletic director, and they have now both, or in tandem, I'm not sure which, but they have commissioned a quote-unquote independent outside agency or outside group to investigate this. Now, as we saw at Ohio State, we have yet to see what the makeup of that group is going to be. Ohio State's outside group investigating Urban Meyer is a bunch of Ohio State people.
It's
just
not outside at all.
Well, yeah. It's outside of the football program, but beyond that, it's still Ohio State people. So we'll see what Maryland does, but I honestly think DJ Durkin's biggest problem, besides having a player unfortunately pass away on his watch, is that everyone's trying to scramble and save their job right now. And if the president and AD are in that mode, guess who's typically on the chopping block? Yeah. The head coach. So I'm almost certain that the athletic trainer and the head strength coach down there will be gone. That seems to be, I can't believe they're not already, to be quite honest. And if you're Maryland, I don't know how you can keep DJ Durkin around, Dustin. The reports are too damning. The allegations are very strong at this point. They're not obviously confirmed, or they're not anything more than allegations at this point. But when you go down the list of everything that's happened, and you're well aware that the McNair family is eventually going to file some kind of lawsuit against the school and the football program and whatnot, I mean, it's just a very... it's a situation that just isn't going to go away. They can hope it goes away, and they can investigate it from the outside as long as and as much as they want. But at the end of the day, when Maryland comes to Penn State later this year, I would just be I would be really surprised if DJ Durkin's on the Maryland sideline when that takes place.
It is hard to see that unfolding. This is not it's a crisis of humanity as much as anything. And I know that some people will call some of these things old school tactics or whatever. But when those old school tactics interfere with what your responsibility is, like in the McNair situation, that's when you really have trouble. Not to mention, you know, it's 2018. I think you can coach a football team effectively and treat every player like human beings, even the ones who are lagging behind, even the ones who aren't pulling their weight necessarily, the kids who are struggling, the kids who aren't meeting expectations. They all deserve to be treated like human beings. And it sounds like if a lot of this stuff is true, as per the ESPN report, that just wasn't happening down there, in addition to the really, really heavy stuff with the circumstances of Jordan McNair's untimely passing. So yeah, I think it's something that's worth watching as you go. And from just a football perspective, Maryland has been really starstruck with injuries and that kind of thing, especially last year. It's interfered with their ability to really take the next step. And certainly all this stuff, it's much bigger than football, but this is a team that, you know, a lot of people might have circled it from the Big Ten East as one that could make an ascent starting in 2018. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're talking about Penn State football, looking at the Big Ten East division. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this point here, Greg, but Christian Hackenberg signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was drafted in the second round by the New York Jets, overdrafted, never played a down of football, was never viewed as being ready to play a down of football for a Jets team that just wasn't any good, to be blunt about that. Traded to Oakland, and I think Oakland, what, they had other roster needs, ended up having
needed a defensive tackle.
And so Hackenberg was on the chopping block there. He lands in Philadelphia almost certainly as a practice squad type player, somebody who can maybe develop behind the scenes. And for Hackenberg, boy, I mean, to end up in Pennsylvania with the defending Super Bowl champions, with a up-and-coming quarterback in Carson Wentz, a really good mentor type in Nick Foles, and a situation that if you can develop for a year, it could change a lot in a year. Looking at Foles and Sudfeld, I mean, this is an opportunity for Hackenberg, and you just hope from a Penn State fan's perspective that he makes the most of it.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I don't think there's any chance he makes the 53-man roster, but he certainly could be in line to hit the practice squad. So it's an opportunity for him I personally didn't see coming. I thought he was done, to be real honest with you. I thought that he was, as soon as he got let go in Oakland and he took that visit to New England and Bill Belichick said, nah, thanks for coming, but no, I thought his career was over. So it's good to see he's getting another shot. We'll see if it really ends up meaning anything, but he's taking a step forward at this point.
There's arm talent there. I think that's the thing that appeals to a lot of people, that maybe you can salvage it. We'll see what happens in Philadelphia. By the way, got a special announcement. We made a special announcement earlier in the show, but our guy Mark over at GoPSURV.com, you've heard about it for a few weeks now. He's going all out for the first game against Appalachian State. He's going to be renting his RVs at half price for that weekend. There's also going to be an open house Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. and from 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday. You can get some more details on that at GoPSURV.com. You can look for the 409 Tailgate Club guys there cooking some awesome barbecue, some tailgate wine for you to sample, and there will be Labatt beer. So it should be a really good weekend, a good chance to check out what they've got at GoPSURV.com. Looking ahead to that opening weekend, looking at where Penn State is at now, I wanted to get your opinion, Greg, on the way that James Franklin has talked about positions of uncertainty, looking at defensive tackle, linebacker, the kicker situation, I would say tight end as well. He has this tone of not being all that worried about those spots. Now, it seems like early in training camp, there's been a bunch of guys who have exceeded his expectations. They're further along than he anticipated. Start with defensive tackle, where this rotation, you know, P.J. Mustafa, some more good things came out about him, I guess, during the BTN's tour.
Yes.
Up there, their bus tour. They always get all the access that nobody else gets. So it's worth watching as they share what they've learned. But defensive tackle, clearly some guys have emerged. Mustafa, Antonio Shaw, we won't really have names, but if they're good there, if they're in really good shape at defensive tackle, better than expected, I think it goes a long way to easing concerns about the overall defense.
Yeah, I just have a hard time buying the fact that on August 4th, James Franklin sat in the Beaver Stadium media room and made a huge deal about the biggest question marks they have, and defensive tackle is one of them, as was linebacker and kicker, which I'm sure we'll get into. But he made a huge deal about these big question marks and that they're bigger question marks than any they've had going into a season. And then suddenly, you know, six practices later, they're almost like they're not question marks anymore at all. And I'm just not sure I'm ready to jump into the deep end.
Can that much change?
I think that one thing that you can be sure about is that Mustafer obviously came out and showed that what everyone thought he was as a recruit. And let's be honest, we've talked about this before. When you win two heavyweight state wrestling championships, I don't care what state it's in, you have an athletic ability that is elite. And then you look at his football tape and you say, wow, this kid, if anyone's going to play as a true freshman along the line, it might well be him. And it sounds like that's definitely the case. Antonio Shelton's a guy that we heard first about in the spring as a guy really taking a step forward. There's no reason to think that that still isn't the case. So I think that, you know, James Franklin told BTN that he wants five defensive tackles in that rotation. Right now you have Shelton, you have Kevin Givens, you have seemingly PJ Mustafer, and you have Robert Windsor. So who's the fifth? Is it Fred Hansard? Is Ellison Jordan ever going to be healthy enough to contribute? What's Damian Barber up to? Yeah. I'll tell you what, he's a big boy now. I mean, he is, if you saw him at Harrisburg, what, 2 years ago, year and a half ago, whatever, and then you see him now, you wouldn't believe it's the same kid. He made a trade, not as quickly, but it's a very Mike Miranda-like transition for Damian Barber. I'm not going to be surprised, he's Dustin, if we see him quite a bit by the end of the season.
Yeah, he's a wild card for sure. He brings something with that length that really nobody else in that tackle rotation brings, and that makes him unique, especially with coming from the end where he's got a little bit of quicks too. What about linebacker? I think they set a tone with Manny Bowen, don't expect anything, and then they basically said he looked really, really good. So I think what we suspected to be the case when they first introduced Manny Bowen as being back, I think it's fair to expect something from him. And I think it's fair to expect something from him pretty early in the year.
Yeah, so I think one thing of note as it relates to Manny Bowen is that, again, we've talked about this before, but to me it's such a dangerous precedent if a guy can get suspended twice during the regular season, kicked off the team for 6 months, and then return at the start of August camp and start right away. So for that reason, I don't believe he's going to be a starter for Penn State in week one. By the time Ohio State rolls around, yeah, I think unless the guys to get the chance to play more ahead of him really shine, I think he's going to be a starter. I know Bob Flounders, our colleague here, disagrees with me on this, but I don't think they balked him up to 238. And let's be honest, there was a plan, even though he wasn't back with the program officially, there was a plan. He's playing inside. That's my guess. That's what I'm going with. They didn't bring him up that high to let him be 238 to play the edge. They balked him up because they knew they had a needed middle linebacker. I think you're going to see him there. One quick note on the linebackers. Micah Parsons at times during practice looked a little bit lost. It doesn't matter. And James Franklin made that clear. I mean, he just gets to the ball and he makes plays happen, even if he knows where he's supposed to be or not.
Once he learns and doesn't have to think out there, everything's just reaction, there's going to be some special things that happen there. Zach Franks decommitted. We didn't really have time to touch on that, but really quick, about 8 days, I think, between commitment, he flipped to Northwestern, got a commitment from Anthony Wigan, the four-star from Lackawanna College. Really good player, I think, 6'5", 290. I'm sure we'll talk about him some more. For now, we're moving on. We're going to look ahead to the 2018 season with wide receivers and tight ends. Trace McSorley's Playmakers coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't do this anywhere but Pennsylvania summer. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light special loving Pennsylvania cans celebrating Pennsylvania's top spots. And stop by Beer Express, 4949 Queen Street in Harrisburg, for your chance to enter to win Labatt's tickets for the Appalachian State game. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light.